gear for quite some time. Many conversations, not really expressing my true feelings, playing games. But I'm here to put all my cards on the table to express to you how I really feel. Now that I've done so, the floor is yours.
Last lifetime, I must have overdosed on your love, because this time around, I'm permanently tipsy. With your name on the tongue of my tip. Can't even speak right. Can't even sleep, and I'm missing your voice and your choice and thoughts. I guess I ought to stop looking for intoxication. No need to inflate this drumming in my brain when I try to release this pain in my chest. I got to rest. I need to chill. I need to chill. But then I see you smile, and all my hard work ain't worthwhile anymore. Just a festering sore, and no amount of drinking milk is gonna calm it. Just drinking rum to block out some of your. Summertime. Or at least I try. And at least a generation later, I'm still trying to ease my soul. Still trying to ease my soul.
In my life and time, I've sung a lot of songs, made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my life on stages, 10,000 people watching me, but we were alone right now, and I'm singing my song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be, and I've treated you unkindly, darling, can't you see through me? There's no one more important to me, baby, can't you see through me? Now that we're alone, and I'm singing my song to you. Oh, you taught me precious secrets of the truth and holding nothing. Came out in front while I was hiding.
Just to get us in the mood, of course, with the incredible Mr. Gordon Chambers with his rendition, a song for you on a fantastic Friday evening, or Friday afternoon. How's everyone doing? It's the Teddy Bear, and welcome to the comfort zone of LOTO Radio, always bringing real artists, and more importantly, real music, back to their waves. And tonight's artist spotlight, or today's artist spotlight, gifted producer, songwriter, musician, Mr. Greg Dean, as we have the pleasure of debuting his fantastic new album, The Greg Dean Project. Lord have mercy. So on behalf of myself, the Teddy Bear, and of course, The Zone, it is my honor to welcome to The Zone, Mr. Greg Dean. Greg, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. First and foremost, congratulations on a wonderful new project.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
I must ask, being from South Africa and making that transition to Brooklyn, man, that is completely night and day. I wanted to ask you, what were some of the musical influences or the vibes that you got as far as working on the production aspect of the new album? Of course, the Greg Dean Project, spending this time in living in Brooklyn.
Oh, wow. I mean, you know, in some ways it was really such a different world coming from back home in South Africa. But in other ways, think that's also the beauty of soul music, you know, how universal it really is, that some of the styles and the colors and textures that I was able to bring from back home were still resonating with, you know, the people over here. And you were just playing Gordon Chambers now. He was one of my first friends that I really, really made when I moved to New York. And in fact, the first time we met, we went for a nice long lunch at Madiba Restaurant in Brooklyn there. So, I mean, it was just amazing to see, you know, the universal taste for soul music, but there's so many influences that influenced me from back home. And from here, you know, I was, in the last 7 years or so, I really got into soul music by listening to D'Angelo and Erica and Jill Scott and I guess some of the newer school guys. I didn't really grow up with soul music and neo-soul music, so, you know, there's no logical explanation for me as a white Jewish boy growing up in Johannesburg to have this kind of music, but somehow it found its way and grabbed my soul. So yeah, I guess there you have it.
But you know what? It definitely resonates through the entire project. Being in New York, to be more specific, spending time living in Brooklyn, the great thing I've always admired about New York, you can, as you said earlier, pick up so many different textures and vibes of music. I like to call it a kaleidoscope of different things that take place in New York in general. How much of that influence helped you as far as, again, on the production aspect of the new album, The Greg Dean Project?
Oh, I mean, that's quite a simple one, really. As soon as I got here, what blew me away was just the platform that there is for so many of these young, up-and-coming, hungry artists and singers in there. So what I would do, one of the first things I did, thanks to Gordon, you know, and the friendship that we struck up, is I would go every Sunday night to the Village Underground, which Ron Grant used to host. And I met Shedrick Mitchell over there. He was the music director of the band. Shedrick's worked with Whitney for a long time and plays for Aretha. And once I'd met him and saw the live band that was playing there from a production point of view, I knew that that was the sound I was going to go for this project. Because, you know, I'd done a first album in South Africa and it was only me producing in my little bedroom. And I guess I had my style and my sound, but when I saw these guys playing live and just that element that they brought to it, I was like, yes, please, I will. I would love to. So I met up with Shed, and just, you know, very thankfully he responded to the material that I was writing and working on, and he said he would take on the project. So from a production sound point of view, what was new for me was really combining my bedroom studio production with a full live band with horns and strings and all of that, which was important for me because it gave this album, I think, hopefully a lot more depth musically, which is what I was going for lyrically as well. So it was great to be able to try and do that.
Absolutely. Now, being a gifted songwriter in your own right, what was it like as far as the process being able to, I guess, to pick and choose the fantastic collaborations that you had an opportunity to work with so many wonderful musicians, as you said earlier, Gordon Chambers, from Gordon Chambers to Eric Roberson, and also the intoxicating Miss Carol Riddick? How did you have that opportunity to just put all that together and put out such a fantastic new album?
Well, firstly, thank you so much for that. It was, wow, if I tell you, you know, a dream coming true, literally. Like, I mean, many people talk about it, and it's hard to describe, but it's just that feeling, you know, that you know you're doing what you're meant to be doing when you start doing it with the people that you've always dreamed of doing it with. It didn't happen overnight, though. Even once I got you, I was very lucky to have met Gordon through Universal back home. And there was another friend of mine, Baron Harris, who was a friend of an artist in South Africa, and he knew Eric. And I had met Eric before once in South Africa when he came. So I met him very briefly, and luckily he remembered me when he had come to my studio in South Africa. But it was just, you know, such an amazing experience reaching out to these artists and for them to be so receptive of someone that they had never met, or, you know, in most of their cases, Jared Lawson, God, so many of them, they had never heard of me or had never heard my work. So it was really, really inspiring when I sent them these terrible demos that I had put up myself. and for them to respond to the material, and I guess in all honesty, for them to be humble enough to work with, you know, a new and unknown producer in this territory was really inspiring for me. So I jumped on a plane as soon as I could, flew down to Atlanta to work with Shante, drove through Philly to work with Carol and Eric, and I guess one by one, the dream just kept growing and building.
Now, you mentioned earlier how soul music has touched your soul and how much it has ingratiated you to take you, as far as your songwriting, to another level. How important was it for you that you so much submerged yourself in your music that you were able to bring it across in your music and show a sense of vulnerability, but also still remaining true to who you are as a songwriter?
Oh man, that's one of the toughest things as a writer. And I must be honest with you, for me personally, when I write stuff, the music comes a lot more naturally to me. I almost always start with the music. And while I'm writing music, a certain lyric will come to mind, like a hook, for example, pitter-patter. And then once I lock into that phrase, then I have the concept of the song. And then I really try and sit and write the words and the lyrics. But it's the funniest thing. It's almost like I go into some sort of zone, because I almost never ever remember coming up with what I with what I've written. And I sometimes look back, I'm like, I honestly do not remember writing that. And I don't know who the hell that was, but that sure as hell wasn't me. So I guess it's quite a meditative process in a way, and I think that's really what makes it a soulful experience, is that it feels like it's coming from another energy, or, you know, another space, an out-of-world experience for me, really, writing a song, which I don't know if you can say that for many genres of music, you know, a lot of the baby stuff, I can't imagine the with those songwriters describing it as an out-of-body experience, so, that's the best way I can describe it.
But you're so being exposed, as I said earlier, you're a very gifted songwriter. And then when you match another gifted songwriter like Eric Roberson, and then you come together and you put together a wonderful single called Grass Ain't Greener, for you, how were you able to kind of bounce ideas off of one another as far as the writing process for this single off the new album, The Greg Dean Project?
Well, that was one of the intimidating things for me. You know, obviously I'd known Eric and some of his stuff, and I had come across a video of, I'll tell you a funny story, I'd come across a video of Eric when he was describing working with King, because he had them on his latest project. One of the things he said, you know, I normally never fully collaborate with other writers where they write the entire song, he says, but King's songwriting was, you know, like it had... He really responded to it so well that he was happy for them to, you know, to work on the writing as well. So that made me even more nervous to work with Eric. but so luckily, I guess when I had arrived in studio, you know, the process I went through with all of the artists is that I sent them demos, and it was never a case of saying, I want you to do this particular song that I'd written. It was always a case of me getting into studio with them, feeding off the energy and saying to them, you know, so I have a few options, a few songs that I have in mind that could suit you vocally, and we would go through two or three, maybe even four, if they really weren't feeling the others. And then, for the most part, the artists would say, okay, I'm really responding to that song, and I'd love to do that. With Eric, I said, so I've got a couple songs in mind for you. I'm just going to play you the first one. It's called Grass Ain't Greener. And I literally played him, I think, two or three bars. And as soon as it started, he said, yep, that's the one. Thank you very much. I will have that. So I was like, cool, that's done, that just saved us a good few hours, no problem. So he really jumped on it. And I'd written it before, but I'll tell you what was interesting. I'd always seen Grass Ain't Greener as a female song. In other words, I'd always envisaged it being a female vocalist. Because, you know, I guess that's the stereotype, is that, you know, the wives would always be the ones preaching, oh, you know, don't go running around and cheating on me to their husbands. And I guess I fell for that initially, if I'm honest, you know, that would be the expected narrative on the song. And Eric quickly turned it on and said, let me tell you something. I mean, husbands feel the same way, you know? So that was really cool that he jumped on the song and the concept as well as a married man himself.
Well, the way you described it, it came across as being very organic, which is very rare when you have two people that have, or they can look at life or look at things from a completely different perspective. So when you have an opportunity and everything just comes together, it's definitely a beautiful experience. And speaking of a beautiful experience, let's get into one of the fantastically written and composed songs, of course, from a very gifted producer, songwriter, musician, Mr. Greg Dean, from his new album, A Greg Dean Project, featuring, of course, Mr. Eric Robertson with Grass Ain't Greener, here in the zone of LOTO Radio.
Yeah.
Coarse Grass, St. Greener, from the new album, The Greg Dean Project, available on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Rhapsody, and also on Spotify. I see we have lost Greg, just temporarily. It's okay, we'll get him back on, I promise. And for those who are tuning in, you say, Teddy Bear, why are you on, Sora? The things we do to make sure we bring real music and substance back to the airwaves. But in the meantime, while you're tuning in, again, be sure to pick up the new album, fantastic new album from the very talented Mr. Greg Dean, of course, the Greg Dean Project, the new album. And I mean, the players and the the contributions on this new album are fantastic, from Eric Robertson, Gordon Chambers, Carol Riddick, Shante Can, Jared Lawson. The list goes on, and it is available. Man, it's a fantastic project. 12 tracks, kaleidoscope of well production, great music. That's what we're here to do. And in the meantime, until we get Greg back on the line, let's get into some more music with Greg Karokas with Secret Smile here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio. See, we got the man back on the line. Let's get him on. Greg, there you are. We got you back, my man.
Hey, sorry about that, Biddy. I don't know how we got
that. Oh, that's quite all right. I wanted to ask you, from a writer's standpoint, if you just kind of stepped away and just said, you know what, this is not my project, this is not my album, this is not my CD. Just from a writer's perspective, and someone played you this album in its entirety, what is it about the album that you would like, and what is it that you may dislike about it? If you could change some things about it, what would you do?
About my own album?
Your own album.
Oh, man. Wow. You mean, do I have any writer's remorse? Is that what you're asking me? That is a tough question. I'm trying to think. You know, this is, I guess if you had asked me that about my first album, I would probably have a lot more to say, because, you know, lyrically, I didn't really focus that much on it. It was my first album. I was so excited to just get some music out into the world. But this one, I really, really took my time on it. It really took me, you know, nearly 2 years to put it together. There are probably a couple of things which I guess I rushed a little bit at the end of it, although I took my time on it. But wow, that is a tough. I should be asking you that question, actually, Teddy Bear. it's like asking me to criticize my own children. It's like, doesn't every parent think their children are perfect?
Well, you know what, there's a method to my madness, and the reason why I ask that is because every artist or musician that I've had the pleasure of conversing with, it's their babies. Their music is their babies, and they pride, and they critique. They're harder on themselves than actually the listening audience. And listening to your music, and, you know, as far as taking 2 years, which is a labor of love, when you take that much time and that much emphasis to work on something, it's your baby. And I'm saying, okay, from your standpoint, if you just could have stepped away, you're not the writer of this music, you're just listening to the album in its entirety, what would you tweak? What do you think? Well, maybe some strings need to be added here, this particular song. Maybe an arrangement.
So, you know, from I guess it is a writing thing, but also as a producing thing, you know, it's difficult because, you know, you get so close to the project and you really start to really nitpick at every little thing. And I guess I'll consider myself a very irritating perfectionist when it comes to this stuff. But I promise you now, if George Little John and the label didn't give me a deadline, I would probably still be mixing it today. There are a couple of things, you know. I'll tell you, for example, the song With Gordon. He and I went back and forth for a long time, you know, deciding on, you know, if we should keep it just piano, if we should add backing vocals, if we should have strings, you know, because there's no right or wrong when it comes to making music. It's, you know, it's just whatever you feel inside, and hopefully people respond to it. So we actually had a session afterwards where we laid down some backing vocals, and, you know, I was really happy with them. I mixed them, I added all the effects and the reverbs and the delays, and I really thought I had a beautiful mix of all of these wonderful harmonies that Gordon laid down. And I sent it to him, and he responded, literally, he just said, "Nope, let's take all of those out, and we're just going to keep it just very simple and plain." So there are a few production things, you know, where I guess I would probably change some mixing things and the sounds. Sometimes I get nervous whether or not it's a confusing sound having the live band with the live drums mixed in with some of the production and the synthetic stuff, you know, like a lot of the percussive loops that I have in there and synthetic effects. But for the most part, I really try to keep it very clear and give the vocals the space in the room that they need and deserve. And that was the way I went about it with producing. I very, very premature demos, and then I recorded the vocals with all of the guys. And once the vocals were in, that is when we actually got the live band in, and then I produced the music around the vocals. So that, I guess, was a little bit of a backward process. I'm gonna have to get back to you on this. I'm really opening up on all of the things I guess I dislike about the album.
Because you know, everyone has a tendency to critique on what they like, on what they dislike, because as far as music has changed overall, because before, growing up in an era where there would be, each song would resonate, whether it was 12 or 15 songs on a quote-unquote album, each song would resonate. It would touch each individual in a different way. You could speak to the listeners. You would take the listeners on a ride. They could live through that artist. For you, being a perfectionist, and as you said, if you had more time, you would have spent more time mixing it. But being a perfectionist, how imperative is it to you to make sure that you continually push the envelope as far as making sure that you take your writing and production to another level?
Oh, it's everything. I think, I guess, you know, you're reminding me of, I think it was Stevie Wonder who said that every writer or musician gets to a point in their career where they stop seeing it as a short-term objective, and they understand that whatever music they're going to be putting down or writing is going to be there forever, and it's going to stay with them for the rest of their lives. And once I had heard that quote from him, I think that triggered a big change in me as a writer, where I realized, you know, like, okay, I may be this old right now, but am I really going to look back in 30, 40 years' time on this music and still be proud of it? And that was the mindset I had for this album, as opposed to my first album. That was a big change for me, where I started writing songs that I guess I felt spoke to experiences that I've had, and also that I hope I would be proud of lyrically and musically for the rest of my life. Because, you know, often artists are like, I guess like I am now, you know, oh, my earlier stuff, I hope nobody ever hears that, and, you know, it's a common case that we all grow out of that stuff, you know. So right now, I don't know, if you ask me in a year's time or 2 years' time, I may be like, oh God, hell no, I can't believe I put that out there, but it is the ultimate challenge, and you never know, like, you know, there's no right or wrong, so the only way to find out is to just, you know, take that leap and put it out there and hope that people respond to it and gravitate towards it.
Can you give the listeners out there that are tuning in, can you give them some insight on what it's like to have live musicianship in the studio? Because that's a rarity in today's music. Everything is sampled, oversampled to ad nauseum. And to me, it's such a beautiful thing, a beautiful vibe, when you have actual musicians who can pick up an instrument and play. What is that vibe like in the process of creating with having live musicians?
I mean, it really made such a huge difference for me for this project. You know, for example, and what the way we went about it, like I said, is I originally had demos, then we had put the vocals in, and then we got the live band in. And sometimes that really helped me understand the structure of the song better when I had all the live musicians. For example, on that song Grass and Greener, you know, that section at the end where we take it to church, as they say, that initially I definitely wanted to go into double time, and on my original demo I just had some, you know, some claps happening on the heartbeat, but when the live band all came together and I heard how much they really picked up the energy and took us there to that next level, I decided to extend it even longer, and I had to then work and find some additional vocals that Eric had laid down to space it out and try and make it sound like we had done it all at the same time. But you just can't describe that energy of hearing the guys play together, which was so amazing for me, because, you know, I'd written these songs, but getting some of the best musicians in the world to really play them back to me and really take them to the next level and make them, you know, a lot better than what I had originally planned, that was really a gift and a treat for me. So yeah, it's just the best. I wish we could have sold tickets for those sessions, just for the guys who for people to just, or not even that, just it had an open door. I would love everybody to experience you know what I was lucky to experience by watching these guys play live. And hopefully they will when we move around and perform live.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to that. And for those who are tuning in late, shame on you, but the teddy bear does forgive you. We're being joined this afternoon by the very gifted, of course, producer, songwriter, musician, Mr. Greg Dean, as we get lost in his new album, of course, The Greg Dean Project. Out of the 12 tracks, and I've listened to the entire album, I would have to say, maybe 5 times. And one of the songs that really resonated to me that I really, truly fell in love with is the collaboration that you did with Natalie and Amber, Like Rain. I mean, it was done so beautifully. I mean, it came across as soft as a baby skin. Can you tell me what that collaboration was like and how were you able to put such a smooth texture on the song? Hello, Greg, I got you. Don't worry, family, I think we got him back. Let's see what we have here. Greg, are you with me? Okay, not yet. All right, we're still working. We're still working. We have a little bit bad of as far as the technical difficulties, but I promise you, we will definitely get him back on the air. In the meantime, let's go to a little quick break. We got you. Got you. No need to worry. Let's get into some more Greg Kroger. We're going to finish with some Sarah Smile here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
There you go. All right. Oh, my goodness.
I thought we're back in South Africa there with that. With the signal cutting.
Hey, everything is beautiful. We got you back. Now, what I was saying earlier, and out of the 12 tracks, the 12 songs, which are all great as far as from songwriting, composition, production, beautiful. But the song that really touched me, that I really fell in love with, is the collaboration that you did with Natalie and Amber, Like Rain. Smooth texture, man. I mean, you did a wonderful job. What was it like working with those two very talented young ladies?
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, I was saying actually, you know, Light Rain was one of the last tracks to happen for this album because I hadn't quite identified the singers or the vocalists yet for that song. And I'd seen, I went to a concert of Broadway Sings, I can't even remember what it was, Broadway Sings Billy Joel or whatever it might have been, where they get a whole bunch of Broadway singers to sing, you know, songs from certain artists and pop stars. And I saw Natalie Weiss perform, and by the end of the song, I knew that she was the perfect choice for the song Light Rain. And I had met Amber Eman before, when she had actually come to my studio to record a demo for a friend of mine who was writing a musical. So I literally just met Amber, and I went to the show and I saw Natalie, and I can't remember what it was, but something triggered inside where I thought, wow, you know, the two of them would be amazing together. And I'd seen a video, actually. I then saw a video of them doing something together online, when Natalie was, she has this episode, you know, these episodes breaking down the riff, and her and Amber were analyzing some song, and just the combination of their voices together with that, I guess, like you say, that smooth, silky tone. You know, Natalie has all, you know, these crazy skills and these runs that she was able to do, and Amber's really got this silky, smooth tone. So I thought it would be really cool to put them together and create a female duet out of the piece, because you know, the sound that I was going for was really trying to make it sound like rain falling down. So yeah, they were just amazing to work with. So cool, so down to earth. You know, the Broadway community, they've got all the talent in the world without the fame and celebrity. So it was amazing to work with them. They were really just like so chilled, as if we'd known each other our whole lives. It was very, very catchy.
Well, can you do the listeners a pleasure? It would be a pleasure and honor for us if you could introduce the song. We would really appreciate it.
Yeah, all right, certainly. So the next song being played by my man, the Teddy Bear, is a song by myself, Greg Dean, featuring Natalie Weiss and Amber Eman, and it's called Like Rain.
Here in the zone of LOTO Radio.
Won't you fade my way?
Amazon, Rhapsody, and also on Spotify. And to get all the latest updates, make sure that you follow, yes, follow Naturally Organic Real Music. Catch up with Greg on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/GregDean, and also on Facebook. That's at facebook.com/GB Collective. Lord have mercy. Greg, it was an honor for me to have you on the show, man. And one of the things I want to tell you, what has me so impressed with you, besides your songwriting and your production, is that it's very hard and difficult to remain humble in this industry, especially when you have so many people telling you how great you are, man. And I just want to tell you, I really appreciate that. This is definitely your home. Whatever you need, please do not hesitate to let us know, man. We definitely respect what you're doing, man, and much continued success in the future.
Oh, thank you so much, Teddy Bear. That really means so much to me. And just, you know, to everybody who listens to the project and journeys on, you know, with me through the music, to everybody out here, you know, coming here from South Africa, it was such a nerve-wracking and daunting, you know, adventure. But it's just been incredible to feel the love and the support from people across the world. So from me to you and to everybody listening in, just thank you so much and really, really so much love. Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, before I let you go, man, I must ask, and then I know the listeners will get on me if I don't, when can we expect some performances, some live performances? Are you planning on putting a tour together?
We are actually planning on putting something together. I was actually just chatting to the label about that earlier today. It's a little bit you know, different with my project because the artists are scattered around the country, so it takes a little bit more planning in that. But we're definitely looking at putting together something live, and we will keep everything updated on the social media that, you know, that you've mentioned, that Greg Dean Music, on Twitter and on Facebook. So please check in with all of that, and I'll keep everybody posted. I can't wait to actually get on stage and between me and you to do a completely new rendition of these songs once we get to jam them live and to meet and connect with everybody face to face.
Oh man, live musicianship, it's a beautiful thing, brother. Much continued success, okay?
Thank you, Teddy Bear. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, my pleasure. The very gifted, of course, singer, songwriter, producer, Lord have mercy, Mr. Greg Dean. Remember, family, be sure to purchase the new album.